Our next guest on the program, one of the most talented stand-up comedians out there. You can get his album, Physical Whisper. It's available on iTunes and everywhere. Fine comedy recordings are sold. And, of course, he writes for what I think is the best show on television, Last Week Tonight with John Oliver. Josh Gondelman, welcome back to Downtown.
Thank you so much for having me back. What a pleasure to speak with you.
First of all, before we talk about the professional life, some big news in your personal life. How is marriage treating you so far?
It's terrific. 3 weeks in, going strong, so that's a good sign, first of all. It took me the first 10 days just to get used to you wearing a ring, and then after that, it's been smooth sailing. So I'm pretty sure I know everything, and it'll always be great forever.
Yes, there's no question about it. I've told people this before. I had this dream when I got married. It's the most bizarre dream ever. You mentioned the ring, and in my dream, they asked me, friends said, are you ready for the procedure? I said, what are you talking about? And they said, well, we shave your ring finger so the hair grows back around that ring and you can't ever get it off. And all these nurses came out with surgical masks in my dream. I don't think that was a good sign.
No, that's a terrifying dream. That's like a right on the nose metaphor too. You didn't have to walk far for that.
No, not at all. Well, we're glad, we're happy for you, and which is good because we're not all that happy for America. Did you get to watch Jeffrey Beauregard Sessions today? What did you think of his? I put testimony in quotation marks.
Yeah, well, I mean, I watched it, but I don't really recall. So maybe I watched it, maybe I didn't. I don't recall if it happened. I don't recall what I saw. I don't recall whether he said anything. No, it was not terrific.
What was more bizarre, his whatever we call it today, or that weird cabinet session yesterday where everyone kissed Donald J. Corleone's ring?
That is a great way to put it. I think that one you can trace a direct line to why that would happen. But today, I'd hoped for more. I didn't have any real high hopes for the cabinet and their interactions with our president.
So on the one hand, for you guys at Last Week Tonight, an abundance of material. On the other hand, some of this is it's right on the borderline between being funny and being depressing. How do you find which side to choose?
I think we really have to sift through and find what's the funny part and try to avoid just depressing people at being a comedy show. I think John has said in interviews that it's about trying to find by Sunday night something that people, or a facet of the story that people haven't heard over and over again throughout the whole week. And so that's like an interesting challenge for us to take on rather than just trying to rehash what the other shows have already done really well.
We've talked with you a little bit before about the process in putting this show together, but with any show that deals with contemporary issues, you've got to always be thinking, gosh, I hope nothing really big happens here in the next 12 hours.
Yeah, that's definitely, it's more in play. It feels more in play now than it ever has. The first few years of the show, occasionally we would know some kind of news was coming down and we would write around it, you know, results from this election came in, et cetera, et cetera. But now it's definitely just like, the president has airlifted the entire city of Detroit out of the country and has dropped it in the ocean on 0 minutes notice. Like, oh, okay. I guess that's just a thing that could happen because there was nobody ever wrote down the president can't cut a city out of the ground and throw it into the sea.
But if there's a guy who could. I loved this past week's show, and it's obviously for John Oliver. It was enjoyable and probably painful, too, for him to report on what's going on in Britain these days. And I was wondering, Josh, is there any American equivalent, or should there be an American equivalent to Lord Buckethead?
Oh, I don't know. I really love that he exists in his current capacity, though. I think he was tremendous, and he was lovely to have on set. But I don't know. We kind of have. I mean, he seemed really on top of things, which in America, normally when we have like a joke candidate or, you know, a satirical candidate or a fringe candidate, they seem less actually engaged with the issue. So I was very impressed by him. Like, we had one of the kind of fringe presidential, we featured one of the fringe presidential candidates on the show last year, and he seemed to be less informed, I will say.
Well, and he clearly had the upper hand on Elmo, and that was reflected in the vote totals.
Yeah, absolutely. Oh, he blew Elmo out of the water. there was no contest. If it was just between Lord Buckethead and Elmo, we would be living in the Buckethead era.
Nothing was better than the look on Theresa May's face when they announced the totals for Lord Buckethead.
Yeah, it was pretty great because that was, I think, 249 people that looked at her and thought, you know, I'm going to go with the bucket, the vote bucket.
And I wish I could describe how John described Lord Buckethead's genesis. Yeah, I don't think I can do that on radio.
And over the airwaves, I feel like is it an FCC issue?
Yeah, I mean, it won't be a big deal in 6 months when Trump has dismantled that. I won't have to worry about it.
Sure. But by that point, maybe we'll be broadcasting from a ham radio in a bunker somewhere.
I will. Yeah, I'll be in a ship off the coast of Labrador, I think, by that point. We're talking with Josh Gondelman here on Downtown. And you have the reputation in the comedy business of being one of the nicest guys around. Is it difficult to be nice dealing with people out there in government and those who support certain people who aren't all that nice? Do you fight nice with nice or evil with nice, I guess?
Well, thank you. I guess that I think in the business, there are a lot of nice people. I think part of my reputation is because my stand-up is also very friendly sounding, I think. And fortunately, I write a lot of mean jokes at work, but then someone else says them. So that's a pleasant aspect of my job too. So I get kind of to write jokes about mean people and write mean jokes about mean people. And that's, I enjoy doing it, but it doesn't come out of my mouth. So it helps preserve the illusion that I'm a kind and good person.
Josh, we love following you on Twitter. We do a segment every day with tweets of the day, and hardly a day goes by when one of your tweets doesn't make the cut. But whether it's on Twitter or just in the comedy world, who are the people that you like that really make you laugh?
Oh my gosh, there are so many wonderful people. Maria Bamford's new Netflix special is tremendous. She's not super active on Twitter. Who else? I've been just going through. Netflix has been putting out so much fun comedy stuff. Roy Wood Jr. is great on Twitter and his stand-up, and he's great on The Daily Show. Who are my other favorites lately?
Did you watch, did you have a chance to see the Chris Gethard special?
I watched it when it was a live show. I thought it was tremendous. I loved it. And Hasan Minhaj's show, his special was great too. Homecoming King. Really wonderful. Both of them. And like really heartfelt. I admire that kind of thing very much. Like that kind of narrative through line, because it's so funny and it's so sincere and tender. And I think like it's easy to tip one way or another, right? It's easy to do an hour of stand-up that you pretend is a unified show by like talking about something at the beginning and the end, or it's easy to do a sincere show with four jokes and pretend it's comedy. And I think that both of them, and Mike Birbiglia is another person who does like a really wonderful job at like blending those things together. Oh, Hello, which was John Mulaney and Nick Kroll's Broadway show, was a Netflix special today. And I saw it, and my now wife, then fiance, we were supposed to go together, and she was sick, so I brought a friend. And then I bought tickets again so that she could come with me and that my sister could see it, too. I just loved it so much.
We've got on tomorrow's show, we talked to a lot of, we love comedians here on the program. Birbiglia has been on. Tomorrow, talk about your Boston comedy legends. Barry Crimmins is going to be with us tomorrow.
Whoa, that's great. Barry's wonderful, really funny. And like another person who like really has something to say and says it with comedy, which is really cool.
Absolutely. Hey, I want to go back in time. We haven't had you on since before the Super Bowl, when you did what I thought was a very cool thing, and I jumped in on it as well. As a Patriots fan who was unhappy with the political leanings of some of the Patriots, you challenged some folks and end up raising a lot of money for good causes through that. Can you talk a bit about that?
Yeah, it was really heartening how many people came through. I'm a big Patriots fan. I grew up a big Patriots fan through many of the lean years and then into the Brady era, which seems seems like it might never end. But just kind of the closeness with Trump personally, and the reluctance to back away from some of the things politically of like people really high up in the organization, from players, coaches, the ownership. And it just like was really a bummer to me, because it felt kind of like, especially right after the inauguration, like wholeheartedly supporting the Patriots is like kind of wholeheartedly supporting that whole structure. So I said for every touchdown, I was going to donate a small amount of money to the, I did the NAACP Legal Defense Fund, and then for every field goal, half that. And it seemed like, for every Patriots score, and it seemed like I was not going to donate much money at all going through the first half. And then there was that incredible second half, and it was really fun to monitor on social media, because a lot of other people, we did a hashtag. My friend Emma Sandow and I created this hashtag, a good game, and we could kind of watch as other people were donating. And it was really exciting to see like people really respond to it. I think all told, with just donations that people reported, because some people didn't use the hashtag, or like my parents were very sweet and made donations, I forget, to the ACLU, I think, and aren't on social media, but just the reported donations were, I think, around $80,000 or $90,000.
Well, that's fantastic. Yeah, well, I gave mine to the ACLU of Maine and to the Maine Public Broadcasting Corporation, looking at losing money as well in this brave new world we're in.
Yeah, it's really tough, and but it's been really inspirational to see how people have stepped up with funding things that are losing funding, or advocating for people for disadvantaged groups. I think it's like a really, not that it's a silver lining, but it's like an inspiration that there could be at some point a silver lining.
Did you get caught up in the NBA finals at all, brief as they were?
I did. I watched the first half last night, and I'd been out doing so much stand-up in the past week that I didn't think I could make it through the whole game. And I went to bed, and when I woke up, the results were pretty much as I'd expected from watching the first half.
I read, and again, I follow you on Twitter. I'm not stalking you, Josh, I promise, but I read this last night, and I thought, but this right here in a nutshell, this explains to me more than perhaps any other tweet why I like your comedy so much and why we love having you on the show. And it's your tweet last night about ordering Thai food.
Oh, yeah. This was for real. I was ordering food, and it was so hot, and I was so tired just from a long week that I ordered Thai food from the second furthest place away, the second closest place to my apartment. So the people at the closest place wouldn't deliver it and think I was super lazy. Because it's basically, if there weren't other buildings in between, the closest place would be visible from my apartment. Like you could see it. So I went one further just so that they wouldn't judge me as harshly.
Plausible deniability. It's everywhere these days.
Yep.
I don't recall where I got my Thai food from.
I don't recall where I ordered. No, I don't recall where I ordered. And it's like, you know, the food is the same. It's not better food. It's exactly the same.
Josh, it's great talking with you. We love having you on the show. Thank you so much for making time for us. A continued success, and we hope that honeymoon continues for years and years to come.
Thank you so much. Always a pleasure chatting with you.
Josh Gondelman here on Downtown.